Thank you, Interstate. Jeff, Chuck, Elton, Katie, thank you so much. They chose just the right music for what I want to say. Your true self is what I'm here to talk about today. My friends, my dear friends, some of you now friends of the long road, and some of you friends I haven't met yet. So I'm looking forward to that meeting someday. It'll happen to you someday. You'll have to have a rail to get up the steps. And I sort of feel I ought to put in parentheses here, the change of my name has to do with the fact that I've reached the 10th decade of life, and I find I am recycling, rinse, repeat, all the other stages of development. You kind of go back to infancy, where you have issues of trust versus mistrust, and toddlerhood, where your autonomy of your body or shame about your body is a part of your reality. And so then there's, I'll just go with those stages for a minute, there is the toddlers, I mean, that's toddler, you know, I will, I won't, and you can't make me. And I have a bit of that in me too. And then there is the next stage, which is purpose, meaning you take initiative and you make ideas and you create possibilities for yourself. That's preschool. And then you get to elementary school and you begin to build more skills and knowledge. So I'm still trying to do all of that. And I thought changing my name would be a way to reinvent myself since I'm starting over. I was born in 1929, the year the Great Depression started. I thought I caused it. It's pretty grandiose, isn't it? And Dr. Haney delivered me in a home birth in that farmhouse. And he said to my mother, "What are you going to call her?" She said, "Margie Ruth, M-A-R-G-I-E-R-U-T-H. Dr. Haney said, "Oh, let's just make that Marjorie." You see where I'm going? So I've shifted here, and it's confusing for everybody, including me. but I wanted to honor my mother. She was probably the truest God person I ever knew. She had love abundant. If I had trouble, I didn't have to tell her what the trouble was. I just went and was in her presence, and she could feed my soul. You know, we're all souls. We are walking, living, breathing, slowed down light and sound, encapsulated in a biochemical spacesuit. Yeah, we're just walking pieces of vibration. That's what we are. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. But I first want to tell you about my new job. I have a new job taking care of a 90-year-old woman, me. One of my friends says, when I said I'm taking care of a 90-year-old, she said, "Oh, don't do that." Yeah, I try to feed her and clothe her and keep her clean and... She rebels sometimes. But I began to think about these elevated emotions of joy. You know, if you have a happy heart, you're going to have joy in your brain. That's how that works out. So the movement into the happy heart is part of my reinvention of myself. And then awe. That can be awesome. Or it can be awful. Awe. It kind of startles us, astonishes us, amazes us. I'm in awe every Sunday when Reverend Jill Carey ministers to us. When she starts, she looks at us with such love coming out her eyes. I was here the Sunday she twinkled. And I was in awe. It's amazing what I've learned here in the 10 years I've been in this congregation. I am so grateful, and I want to wonder with you, wonder about what would your life have been like had, when you been born, they laid you in a cradle and a light from heaven shone down, and people who were wise came from far and near and stood there and looked at you and said, "What child is this?" How would your life have been different? And I guess I want to move you to think about becoming that child. We are little godlings walking around, representing the God of love, the all-powerful, all-present, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. And we're part of that. We're part of that creation. So I challenge you to think about it. On Father's Day, by the way, this soul that is you, this slowed down light and energy and sound that vibrates, is really the vehicle by which your soul learns to sing its music. So that's what you're here to do, is let your soul sing its song. And on Father's Day, I was first of all blown away by Maggie Alderman's sermon. It was wonderful. And then I was glad I was home watching live stream, because when Kit sang the Our Father, I lost it. And I was so grateful for the fathers, the males in my life. My own father, who was both my teacher but also my stretcher, if you know what I mean. Severely critical, highly demanding, judgmental human being. And it wasn't until a few years ago that I realized he had been the greatest gift I'd ever had, for I became extremely sensitive to people's emotions. Do you see how he was my teacher? So now, instead of putting him in the chair in a gestalt therapy session, which he was always the subject, you again, I would say. But instead of doing that now, I am grateful to him, for I know we had a soul compact at spirit level for me to come back to earth, and he would help me, and he did. I found myself several years ago working for a church. I was a counselor hired by a church. So I saw people on Thursday afternoon. I did couples training with marriages. And I also decided to take them through the learning of Carl Jung's psychology, J-U-N-G. Hold your hand up if you know that word, Carl Jung. Oh, well, you already know. I don't need to say any of this. But we found the concepts of Carl Jung to be extremely beneficial in our quest to become the best human beings that we could become. Why did I choose Carl Jung instead of Sigmund Freud? Glad you asked. Freud would take you, you know, through your therapy and take you all the way back to your mother, and you'd blame her, and that would be it. And you'd go permanently into the victimization role and be poor little me all the time. Whereas Jung was spiritual. I showed one of my groups of friends the big red book that he left behind, where he mercilessly introspected himself. He went deep, deep, deep. His father, having been the minister, strict kind of Christian minister, and his mother, a wild metaphysical one. She actually held seances in their home and talk to dead people. Yeah, so he became my fascination. And I went into Jungian therapy for 2 years. Can you guess what our subject was? The subject was my dreams. So I used to do workshops for this church called Dreams Like Letters from God. Be sure you open your mail. You're getting messages if you will pay attention to your dreams. Here's what Carl Jung said that I found to be fascinating. He said, if your religion is based in salvation, your primary emotions will be fear and trembling. Can you relate? If, on the other hand, your religion is based in wonder, your primary emotion will be gratitude. So think gratitude every day. Wake up in the morning, noticing, paying attention, finding what are you grateful for that day. I really liked his principles. He gave us the concept of the collective unconscious, the oneness of all of us. He also taught us about the anima and the animus, the female that lives inside the man, the male. That's an interesting concept. If you mess up, gentlemen, I guarantee she'll pipe up. She'll have something to say. And we females have the animus, the masculine inside of us. And I based a lot of my work with the possible woman, where I used to do cruises and seminars and spa retreats with women. It was a great gig, I will tell you. And I would challenge women to become all they could be. And I challenge you today to think, who am I and what could I be if I allowed myself to be my true high self? That's what I'm here to challenge you about. He also, Carl Jung, gave us the concept of the shadow, that dark part of us that we drag around like a dreary ego and project onto others. You knew I'd get to projection somewhere down the line, didn't you? I make up scripture, some of you know. So here's my scripture. Whatsoever thing thy neighbor doeth, that rattleth thy cage, puncheth thy button, ringeth thy bell, or pulleth thy chain, that thing hath more to do with thee than with thy neighbor. My sweet little precious great grand nephew, 2.5 years old he was, when he climbed on an ottoman to get up to my TV, and he swiped the picture. Classic illustration of projection. If you're trying to change the picture out here so that you will feel better in here, lots of luck. If they're making a mistake out there and you're the one suffering, that doesn't make any sense, does it? So I'll tell you the story of Jennifer. Jennifer came to me, and as always, I asked, what do you want? And she said, I just want my sister to get her act together. I said, oh, well, your sister's not here. Describe her for me. Tell me about your sister. She said, she is the most self-centered person I've ever met in my life. She is selfish, and she demands to get her way on everything, and she takes my stuff without asking me. And she went on and on and on, all these complaints about her sister. And I said, well, do you, Jennifer, want theory or therapy? She said, both. I said, well, the theory is projection. She said, oh, no, I've had a little psychology. I know what you're talking about. And she began her work on herself. 6 weeks later, 6 sessions later, she came back to me after she had begun the work on her own shadow. And she said, do you know my sister has changed? She said, I love my sister now. And we have good times together, and the family's a lot happier. And I breathed a sigh, but that's projection personified. So I hope you get the picture of it. You see, We have this thing I placed on a clock face. Many of you have heard me teach my clock of awareness. 12 o'clock high would be where you place your beliefs. 3 o'clock would be where your thoughts come. 6 o'clock would be your feelings, emotions, energy and motion, emotion. And 9 o'clock would be your behavior. Now, your behavior is nothing more than the words you speak, the tone of voice with which you speak them, the body postures, gestures, and movements. That's behavior. Emotions are that vibrational energy that goes through us. And you have a choice, yes, a choice, of positive or negative emotions. You'll either go to fear or love. And it's all based in what you believe about yourself and about others and about the world. So if you want to change your life, you can work all three places. You can do behavior modification, snapping your wrist every time you want to eat sugar, or you can do primal scream therapy, belching out all your emotions. And I found that doesn't work. I ran anger clinics. And we would encourage people to beat something up, you know, bataka bats and all of that. And the group, after a while, actually punched out the co-therapist. And I began to think, something's wrong here. Anger's not going down. It seems to be multiplying. It seems to be getting bigger. So we were practicing them on how to do anger. That's what we were doing in the anger reduction clinic. That doesn't make any sense, does it? So beating out your feelings might be a relief for you, might give you some a little bit of relief. But the place you've got to change yourself is in your thoughts and your beliefs. And beliefs are just thoughts. You think a lot. So what do you believe about yourself? Who are you? What can you be? And I thought I knew myself. I thought I was feeling really good about myself until Tracy Brown came last week and did that marvelous speech and presentation to you and had you doing the hokey pokey. And I began to get worried. I began to have a little bit of concern. And I thought, well, maybe I'll have them do chaotic meditation. I do that with crowds. Oh, okay. And then, did you hear what was going on? I had gone right back to childhood beliefs that I can't be anything unless I can compete and win. I was comparing, and I had to take myself in hand, this old 90-year-old, and teach her again one more time. You are you, Tracy is Tracy. Each one of you, a universe unto yourself, and claim that space. You don't need to compare yourself to anybody, and you don't need to compete. You're a winner already. You're the sperm that won. You've heard that old saying. So beliefs, thoughts, feelings, behavior. And it came to me that beliefs are like the parent inside us. And I spent many years self-reparenting. I went through transactional analysis. Hold your hand up if you remember that old theory. Yeah, a lot of you. Parent, adult, child. So the parent is the beliefs. The adult is where we do our thinking. It's like the executor that takes in information, gives out information. The child is the feelings. So 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock, beliefs, thoughts, feelings, behavior. In my work in transactional analysis, I saw a lot of abuse where people would make way for the inner child to come forth. And they would bless the inner child, and I believe there's a song that says, I'd like to take that inner child and kick his little... Is that right? I think there's a song that says that. Turns out that wasn't the place to do the work. The place to do the work is in the parent. Reparent yourself in a loving, kindly way. Love yourself. I would say the root of most of the psychotherapy I did with people was self-hatred. People not really loving themselves, could not find their way to love their partner or their family members. And love, remember, is a ladder. The lowest rung of the ladder is eros, erotic love. If we didn't have it, the race would die. And so I kind of made a living off of that one because I did couples therapy, and that romantic love phase lasts about 3 minutes to 3 years max. And then you get to the power struggle. And it's like my way or the highway. And so you have to move into becoming friends, agape love, friendship. And then you can get to philia. And I knew if a couple ever got to philia, city of Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, family love, it would be like they had adopted each other, and they would thereby never think about divorce again as a solution to their difficulties. So helping people learn that was one of my great joys. The final rung on the love ladder is caritas, Christ love, unconditional and sacrificial. It is the love that is beyond all love. So you can get to that if you can change your beliefs, for your thoughts will follow and your feelings will follow that. And I want to tell you now, in the last paragraph here, about an invention of mine, a new one. I call it Pocket Grandmother. Some of you have been introduced to this before. It's a grandmother in this parent ego state. Why did I choose grandmother, not grandfather? She's nurturing. She's life-giving. She knows how to do the details, tend to the little things. She has a rocker. She sits on her front porch, and the windows are open, and the curtains are billowing, and you just feel welcome with this grandmother. And it's a healthy ego state inside you. So I invite you now to consider creating your own pocket grandmother. What do you carry in a pocket? It could have been purse grandmother, but that would have been really feminist. And I thought, no, better not do that. So I made it pocket grandmother. And what do you carry in your pocket? You carry keys to help you unlock things, the mystery. Usually you carry some tissue or a handkerchief to dry your eyes and blow your nose if you're sad. So she will be there to console you when you have bad feelings. You carry money, maybe. Helps you get what you want, and she'll support you in that. She'll be there inside you. Don't mistake me. This is not some outside person. This is an ego state that is very, very healthy inside you. And she will be there with the keys to the kingdom, the tissues to dry your eyes, and the money to buy you what you want. You know that you're rich when you can go in any store, Target or wherever, and say, I'll take that and that and that and that. That's rich. And she will help make you that kind of rich. She also, probably you carry a phone in your pocket. I put mine in my pocket as I go around the day so I can hear the text messages. My family lives very close to each other, but we don't particularly talk. We text a lot. You've seen families sitting at tables, and they're all in their own world, but they may be talking to each other. Sometimes they are. So this pocket grandmother can also hook you up with good relationships and connect you, so you will be forever connected. You get the idea now? I got a website. If you go to margebarlow.com, M-A-R-J, the old Dr. Haney spelling, I describe it, and there's a website where you can just sign up if you want to for, actually, I've been offering appointments. This has been an interesting thing. I've quit any private practice or consulting, but I decided that I would mentor people if they wanted to learn how to do this pocket grandmother. And so I put it out there, and I put down times that I'm available for no charge if you want, or you can pay if you want, that kind of thing. Okay, so that's pocket grandmother. I give her to you as my gift today for your high self-development. And I'd like to teach you a mudra. It's a hand gesture that will help you remember when you have a need for some loving, caring person to nourish you and hold you and protect you. If you'll extend your dominant hand and just imagine these four fingers are this pocket grandmother, full of joy, gratitude, awe, and wonder. And there she is. Project yourself into your thumb and imagine you're feeling sad or mad and fold your thumb into your palm and hold yourself. You like that? Yeah. All right. Let's take this into prayer, shall we? So unfold your pocket grandmother gesture and place that hand, if you're willing, on your heart where you can feel happiness and joy. You know, your heart came before your brain and your little zygote fetus pre-birth state, that heart began to beat. And if you were lucky enough to have ultrasound, they would have heard your heartbeat. It develops before your brain develops. Think about that and take in a breath. As you take in that deep breath, think the words, I do love myself. And as you exhale, let go of all pain, victimization, anything that hampers your guided development. This heartbeat is your drum that takes you through your life. It will beat from pre-birth to actually post-breath. It doesn't quit until the breath stops. You choose happiness today. You can say, joy is mine. Joy means utter delight, jubilation, glee, exhilaration, ebullience, exuberance, elation, euphoria, bliss. Feel it, sense it, and know it. In this quiet time, love yourself as you show up in life in your full presence. Feel a lot of compassion from yourself to yourself. Unleash the creativity that is yours alone. There's nobody else like you. Allow the creativity that is yours. And you are still evolving and growing. You have laughter and song and joy, learning and love, and you are of service. Quietly, silently, breathe and ponder. I love myself. And another deep breath. And so it is. Amen.